I decided that I didn't want to let fear, worry, anxiety, I didn't want that to be the boss of me anymore. I realized how much it had stolen from me.
Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Anxiety is at an all-time high and is a huge issue in our culture, even for Christians. As a former anxiety sufferer and a certified neurocoach that's worked with hundreds of women, I've learned that we need a practical plan based on proven mindset tools to get God's calming truth into our thoughts. If you're ready to break free from worry and anxiety, check out the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit at calmyouranxietytoolkit.com. This incredible resource includes a Bible study, teaching videos, and everything you need to create a Bible and brain-based plan to lower your anxiety and enjoy God's peace. Get it now at calmyouranxietytoolkit.com. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Christian Mindset Coach with me, Alicia Michelle. Well, I hope you came to today's episode with your sleeves rolled up and your body ready for action because we are talking about making plans today. Making plans very specifically, though, to manage anxiety, to better deal with worry, to release fear, all these things that we deal with on an everyday basis. And if you have not watched the trends of how fear, anxiety, and worry have been in our society in the last few years, let me give you a quick insight. They're going up is the basic bottom line here. Man, it is insane to look at the statistics and see how much anxiety has continued to just up over the last few years, especially since the COVID pandemic. There's all kinds of statistics that show that it dramatically increased during COVID, but that it has not gone down back to normal pre-COVID levels. And I think there's all kinds of reasons for that, which we won't get into today, but it is very interesting to live at this point in society and in culture. And to now say, what are we going to do about this? Because this is a huge issue. There are those of us like me who have dealt with anxiety our whole lives, but there's a whole bunch of people who are now finding themselves really struggling with worry and not quite sure how to deal with it. Either way, I want to help you today take the first steps towards managing this in your life if you're like most of us who are struggling with some sort of anxiety or worry on some level. All right. So before we get started here, I want to give you a little pop quiz. Which of these four responses are typically how you manage anxiety? So number one, do you tell yourself to just stop worrying about it? Number two, do you pray harder and you just ask God, please, 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 please change the situation, like make it go away? Number three, do you stay overly busy and distracted and just are like, not thinking about it, running? Or are you neck number four? You beat yourself up continually and you wonder, why am I still worrying about this? Why can't I get over this? What's wrong with me, God? I must be doing something wrong. So maybe it's a little of one or more of those. Maybe you very clearly defined what that answer is. But either way, these are very common strategies that we naturally just do as a response to anxiety. Nobody has to teach us these things necessarily. Sometimes it's modeled in a home, but a lot of us just pick these up naturally as defense mechanisms and safety ways to keep ourselves alive. And this is how our brain deals with it. And we don't need to blame ourselves and be mad at ourselves about that. But we can say a very simple statement to ourselves. This is no longer working for me. This is not helping me. This is not moving me forward towards freedom, towards joy in Christ. This might be the thing, in fact, that is keeping you from the peace that you're looking for. There is so much around this topic that is related to all kinds of aspects of living, and we really need to get to the root of this and to develop some specific life skills around anxiety. Like I said, some of us are more prone to anxiety or maybe have dealt with it our whole life. I am one of those people. It could be for you, there are genetic links to anxiety. There are personalities that tend to gravitate more towards dealing with problems using anxiety. It could be past trauma where you learned how to do it back because of that certain situation, or you saw it, like I said, modeled
before you in like as a child, whether you realize it cognitively or not, you realize this is how I'm going to manage it. But no matter how it comes about, we need to address it. The thing that we need to understand about anxiety is that fear is the base emotion behind anxiety. And I once heard fear defined as going into the future without God. To me, that is the best definition for fear. Because when we fear, we are believing in a reality that is beyond what we know or can control. And we have somehow told ourselves that God and his goodness and his character is not in that reality. And that's what causes us to stay stuck in a pattern of, oh my gosh, I have to fix this. Oh my gosh, I need to figure out this a solution to this. That's just our natural wiring as humans. So it's not necessarily that we need to be mad at ourselves for trying to fix it in that way. We can say, yeah, we can manage what we're feeling, but we're going to manage it in a healthier way, because this way of avoiding or telling ourselves to stop worrying or just being mad at God and like begging for him to change things, these are not effective ways. So even though we use different coping mechanisms to deal with this, a lot of times this pattern of anxiety has been created literally as a pattern, which is why it makes sense that we still are struggling with anxiety after the COVID pandemic has ended for the most part at the time of this recording. We have, a lot of us, created patterns and begun reinforcing those patterns, adapting our minds to this is how we're going to solve it, using anxiety, using worry. We cultivated, a lot of us cultivated that during this time of being alone, being isolated, being unsure of what was going to happen in the world with COVID. And for many of us, we just haven't really switched off that gear yet. We, whether we've, again, actively done it or not, it's something that our brain has been conditioned to learn. Our brain is always learning. It's always changing. And it's a term called brain plasticity. You may have heard me mention that before on the podcast. It is the concept that our brain is going to be shifted and changed by every thought or emotion that we have. It's building upon itself. The brain that you have 3 months ago is not the same brain that you have today, because the thoughts that you've had, the experiences you've gone through, all of that is rewiring your thoughts and behaviors and emotions and everything to connect in different ways. It's really interesting because we can deal with anxiety in a way maybe that's more healthy in one season, but if we have begun to deal with it that is not healthy, it can slowly creep in without us even realizing it. And before we know it, like we said, we've changed those patterns. So we have to not just notice that it's there. We have to see what are the patterns and how have they been created there. The bottom line is this: even if you tend towards anxiety as a natural part of your personality or your upbringing, or it's something that's just more recently developed, I want you to know today that you can do something about it. You don't have to stay stuck in it. This is not the fate for you the rest of your life. You don't have to believe the lie that says, well, I've always been a worrier, so I'm going to be a worrier. You don't have to be a worrier. That is a choice that you have made to stay stuck in worry. Now, listen to me. It doesn't mean that it won't be potentially challenging to stop those patterns if you've had them for, especially if you've had them for a long time, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. And the reason why I know that that's true is because, first of all, that's my story. I grew up as an incredibly anxious kid and it followed throughout my whole life. And I have been able, through the grace of God and because of some very specific plans that I have made to respond differently in the situation and then the diligence to keep practicing that, I have been able to change. And I know women who I work with who have been able to change. You heard Bryn's story last week about how God has allowed her to find more freedom in this area and to worry less and to release that fear. And when it comes up, how to deal with it differently. So I want you to believe that you don't have to stay stuck in this pattern. You can live differently. That those of us who have struggled with anxiety for a long time, or if it's even a few days or a few seasons, it is something that you can break free from. I want to tell you my story so that you can learn more about this transformation and see how much anxiety really was a part of every part of my life. As a kid, I grew up being anxious. I shared more about this in episode 200 with Bryn, if you want to check that episode out. But I was a kid who would feel very, very worried about how others thought of me. I was so worried, in fact, that I would often be sick at my birthday parties or anytime I had a friend over because I was so worried about, did I invite the right person? Did I not invite the right person? What would they say afterwards? Would they be talking about me? There were just all of these questions that kept me as a young child feeling like I had stomach aches all the time, headaches all the time. And I would tell my mom that. And I don't think she understood the link between what those anxious thoughts were and my body's reaction. We, I feel like, have a lot more knowledge of that maybe today in this culture. But there was always this this weirdness in me that I felt that I could never shake. And that really helped me, quote unquote, in some ways, because it kept me working really, really hard. It kept me achieving. It kept me trying to shapeshift always to make people happy and to do the right thing, but for the wrong reason, not because it was God's right thing, but because I was trying to please other people or trying to get to that next accomplishment. And I never really knew any other way to be. So I carried that into my parenting. I carried that into my career. I was always trying to read the room, so to speak, walking in, seeing what were people thinking? How could I make myself not cause tension in a way that would cause them not to like me or cause me not to, to get ahead or to do whatever I felt like I needed to do? And that's a very, very draining way to live. It's a very exhausting, confusing, and lonely way to live because you're never quite sure where you stand or where you're going or what's going to upset the apple cart. And I remember many times in my life being extremely upset by things that had kind of blindsided me. And so I developed a second side of this anxious strategy of, well, then I'm just going to anticipate what could happen and to really get myself prepared, so to speak, so that if it did happen, I wouldn't be so blindsided by it. Because to me, in my head, being blindsided by it meant that I wasn't very smart. That why didn't you see this? Why couldn't you read the room? Like I said, why couldn't you know that this was coming down the pike, that there's something wrong with you and you can prevent that? Now, of course, we can learn from mistakes. I'm reading a great book right now by Daniel Pink called The Power of Regret. Powerful book. But there are some things that we're not going to be able to predict or control. And certainly worrying about them isn't a way to make that happen. So what finally changed things for me were a few things. First of all, I realized and I had to accept that the fear that I was feeling of not making other people happy, of not accomplishing what I needed to, of not being enough, basically, how that wasn't going to go away. And that there were always going to be reasons for me to feel that way. That this world had tons of uncertainties and all these ways that I was trying to define myself by my outward activities, those were not going to be things that were going to help me find stability in the way that I really needed it, and especially in terms of managing fear.
Do anxious thoughts and what ifs consume your mind and steal your peace? God tells us to be anxious for nothing, but you wonder, how does that happen? What if you had a custom plan for managing your anxiety? One that was designed for your anxiety triggers with specific, scientifically proven action steps based on brain science to manage worry both in the moment and for the long term. I want to help you create your custom plan for managing anxious thoughts with the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit, the 4-week anxiety Bible study, mindset training, and resources that equip Christian women with a step-by-step plan to use brain science and the Bible together to welcome God's healing power over worry and fear. Listen, I struggled with anxiety most of my life, even as a Christian. I finally found lasting peace and victory over anxiety when I created a plan to manage my anxiety that used proven tools to get God's truth into my thoughts. I want to help you create your plan to manage anxiety and discover more calm. Go to calmyouranxietytoolkit.com to learn more and to get started. Again, that's calmyouranxietytoolkit.com.
So I want to say that to you, friend, that some of us really need to realize that fear is going to be our constant companion in some capacity. Doesn't mean that fear has to run the show. That's what we're talking about today. But we need to stop being angry about fear being present. I think a long time, I was stuck in that cycle of just, why is this still happening to me, God? Why am I still afraid? What's wrong with me? Why can't I fix this? When really understanding, okay, worry, and there's always going to be a reason to worry. It's always going to be there. Jesus said that himself, that in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That it can be there, it will be there, but that we don't have to let it be the thing that drives us. So I can't stop that trigger from coming. I finally had to realize I can't stop the fear trigger from coming, but I could control how I responded to that fear trigger. And that's where the light first came on for me. And I decided that I didn't want to let fear, worry, anxiety, I didn't want that to be the boss of me anymore. I realized how much it had stolen from me. How, like, even as a child, again, my physical health, I didn't have that realization back then, but if I could go back and change that, if I could have understood how what I was doing was so counterintuitive to my own health, I, you know, of course, we want to change that. But I didn't want that to control me in every part of my life. The thing that controls us is our God. That's the bottom line. What controls you? The only thing as Christ followers that is supposed to control us is the Spirit of God. And when we let worry and fear be the boss of us, in some ways, we are letting them be our God. There's good reasons for it. It makes sense why it's there. We're not there to yell at ourselves about that. But we all kind of have to come to that realization that the thing that is controlling us is the thing that is our God. John 16:13 talks about how we have the mind of Christ. Galatians 5:16 talks about how the only thing that's supposed to be in control of our lives is the Spirit of God. We have the power to rise above our pain. We don't have to run from it, and we don't have to let these things like fear and worry control us. And in fact, it's really hard to let anything else on the throne of our life when we've got fear and worry present. It really is. It's really hard to surrender. It's really hard to rest in God's presence. It's really hard to let him lead us when worry and fear are in control. Another thing that really helped me to get out of this cycle was that I saw that my anxiety was a learned response and that I could make a plan to practice a different response to that anxiety. This was a big part of kind of an aha moment that I had when I was training to be a neuro coach. And in the subsequent years of working as a neuro coach and working as a life coach in general, just seeing the patterns that we get into and seeing how the brain creates those patterns as ways of safety, but also how we really can change those patterns. I mean, praise God, we live in the era that we do where we understand about the brain and we understand that it can change. It doesn't have to stay the way that it was. We can look at anxiety and at fear and worry, these coping mechanisms. We can look at them as biological reactions that in some ways we've programmed into our mind, that we have been the people who have perpetrated this, not to add guilt, not to add heaviness, not to add condemnation to us by saying that, but to admit, yeah, I have kept these patterns alive by reinforcing them, by bringing them up over and over. And yet again, there's a hope that God offers that we can be different and that we have the opportunity to have a fresh start. Christ gives us that opportunity every day, and that we can rebuild our mind in a different way. That's what the brain science says. Now, listen, you need a plan to do this. I need you to understand that you need a plan to do this. A lot of us say, okay, I know I deal with anxiety. I know I deal with worry. I want to deal with it differently. And they maybe just throw some darts at a board, so to speak, to try to say, well, I'm just going to breathe more in the moment, or I'm just going to tell myself to stop worrying, you know, and we end up kind of defaulting into those patterns that we talked about in the beginning of just telling yourself to stop worrying and pushing harder and ignoring it and all these things. You need a plan. You need a plan. And I don't know what that plan is for you, because the plan that you need is God-driven and it's unique to you. However, I do know that there are specific ways you can cultivate that plan. I do know that there are tried and true ways of managing anxiety that could work for you. The bottom line is you need to be able to walk through a process to help you figure out what that plan looks like for you. You need to be able to gather tools from brain science, the things that are working to change our thoughts, to change our patterns, to change these things that have been established in our mind around anxiety. You need in-the-moment strategies that work as a guideline of, hey, let's start here. Let's try this. And you need trial and error to see what's going to work for you in this situation versus what's going to work for you in that situation. And that's because you and I were fighting upstream here with these established patterns. We have to better understand what's going on in our heads. We have to take the time to do this sort of work. And we need to take an active approach to it. We can't just say, okay, I'm just going to try to breathe more. Okay, I'm going to pray more. Because again, like we said, we're going to end up back in those same patterns. So friend, I want you to hear me that if you are at a place where you're like, okay, I'm ready to let go of anxiety and to find a different way to manage the fear that's in my life, I want to give you an opportunity to step into that. I have a brand new free workshop. It is called 3 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety. Now, we're going to talk about 3 specific things that you can do to break free from anxiety. Some of them are things that we have mentioned in this topic today, but there's lots of other things that are in there that I didn't even cover because I don't have time to cover today because we're talking about other things. But I want you to go to that training and to learn more about why these patterns are happening and what you can do about it and how making a plan is really incredibly helpful to finding freedom from anxiety. So check out that free training. Again, it's completely free. It's at vibrantchristianliving.com/anxiety. So you can go to that link. You'll see there a time and that will work for you for when our next trainings are. Click on that and pick a time and join me for these trainings so that you can learn how to begin to make this process actually happen more than just a, I know I need to, but let's start by actually making this happen. So as part of that training, you're going to learn about the brain science behind what's going on with anxiety, a small snippet of it, obviously not everything in the world about brain science and anxiety, but you're going to learn some basic information about why those patterns happen and what you can do to break free from them. And then we're going to learn also about these myths that we sometimes deal with when we're trying to get over anxiety and some active steps to take, and including one of those steps being the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit. So this is a toolkit. This is a specific plan that I have put together to help you create your anxiety plan. This is a step-by-step process where you will learn 4 very specific things to understand how to approach anxiety from a different perspective using the brain science and the Bible. And you will begin to craft this, again, very specific plan, very specific outline of what it could mean for you to deal with anxiety differently. And this is a working plan. It's not something that is prescribed the same for each person. It's something actually as a whole spirit of discovery that you're going to be doing as part of this toolkit. And it's a great resource. Along with that, there's also a Bible study. So as you know, it's so important for us to welcome in and to let God's Spirit be the reigning force of everything that happens in our life, especially when we're making decisions and we're changing things. So as part of this training and creating a plan, you get this awesome Bible study. It's a 30-day study that walks you through how to calm your heart around anxiety using Bible verses and connecting with the Spirit of God. So this whole package, you'll learn more about it in the free workshop. Go to vibrantchristianliving.com/anxiety to get that free workshop and to learn more about brain science and the Bible together. And like I said, to begin to think about how can I create a plan to move differently or to deal differently with my anxiety. Now, as we close today, the last thing that we need in this process of making a plan is something that I can't teach you. It's something that I can't give you. It's something that you have to decide you want. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you have to decide, are you really tired of living with anxiety? Are you sick of it? Are you really done with it? And it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm over it. I don't want to deal like this anymore. But many of us say that. But we have to decide, are we more tired of living with anxiety and its ramifications and all the ways it affects us? Or are we more afraid and frustrated by what it will take to change? And the answer comes in whether or not we make a decision to move forward. we can say one thing, but our actions are going to show us something different. I'm not saying that again to be mean, but friend,
if you want things to change,
you have to be less afraid of the action itself to change than the pain that you're feeling right now in the moment. That's something that you have to decide. It may be that you're at that point where you're like, I am so over this and I'm ready. Or it might not be that you're there yet. Either way, I want you to take a second and I want you to think about, what is anxiety currently stealing from you? How is it stealing from you emotionally? How is it stealing from your relationships? How is it stealing from your physical health? How is it stealing from your spiritual health? What is it taking from you? What is it? How is it robbing? We read in the word that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is an amazing tactic that he has, isn't it? Anxiety to keep us from connecting to God, to keep us from trusting God, to keep us stuck in these spirals of just chaos. What is it that is being stolen from you because of this anxiety? Think about it, write it down, and let that be the fuel that moves you towards action in dealing with anxiety in a different way. Take that first step. Like I said, I have this free training that we're going to talk about, the brain science behind it, taking those first steps, what it looks like, more about the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit, and join me. If you're ready, I am ready to help you with this. So join me again for that free training, vibrantchristianliving.com/anxiety. We're going to continue this conversation next week about anxiety. This is now the fourth installment that'll be coming up about the topic of anxiety this month. And I'm doing this because I know that it is something that so many of us struggle with. And this next topic is going to be a specific way that you can help yourself in the moment if you're struggling with anxiety. And I'm excited to share it with you. So I will see you back here for next week's episode. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. Please go to vibrantchristianliving.com and click on podcast to get the full show notes and more info on the resources that we talked about in today's episode. And don't forget to subscribe and to leave a 5-star rating and review in your favorite podcast player. Thanks. I'll see you back here next week.